Okay, good. Good morning, folks. We're in the middle of the topic of Karbanos Bezman Hazeh, of bringing Karbanos Bezman Hazeh, in particular the carbon of Karban Pesach Bezman Hazeh. And when we go into the rationale for bringing Karbanos Bezman Hazeh, we'll see why that's more specific to Karban Pesach. But I said that we were going to say the story of whose idea it was and what exactly happened this week. So let's start with the story. The Ottoman Empire ruled Eretz Yisrael for hundreds of years. The Ottoman Empire ruled, you know, big swaths of the world for hundreds and hundreds of years. It only ended in World War I. The Ottoman Empire only collapsed fully in World War I. For years, for decades, the Ottoman Empire was referred to as the sick man of Europe. It just like lingered around. It was a big empire, but it couldn't really sustain itself. Now, during the early 1800s, during Napoleon's battles, Napoleon battled with the Ottoman Empire and tried to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Egypt, Eretz Yisrael, if you've been to Yafo, there's a lot of like things related to the Napoleonic Wars. Like up the coast of Israel is where Napoleon tried to come from. And there's a lot of different artifacts and history related to Napoleon's battles. Now, the Ottoman Empire was like a big conglomerate. And it had various, you know, strong generals placed in different parts of the empire. And one of the strongest, you know, fighting elements of the Ottoman Empire at that time was the Pasha of Egypt. His name was Ali. Muhammad Ali. Pasha Ali. And he was a great general, a great tactician. And he's the one who engineered the victory of the Ottoman Empire against Napoleon. And being full of steam, you know, he had just won a monumental battle. It was like in the early 1800s. He revolted against the chief Pasha of the Ottoman Empire, who was based in Turkey. And he took control of Egypt and Eretz Yisrael and a few of those local areas over there for a short amount of time. Now him and his son Ibrahim Pasha, who took over after him, ruled, I don't know, it's 20, maybe 20-ish years of rule, Sachakol, that they ruled for. It was considered like the golden age for Jews, the Yishev HaYashan. Because Ibrahim Pasha and Ali Pasha, whatever he called himself, were much more lenient and manageable. They were workable in regards to Jews and Jews' rights in Eretz Yisrael in comparison to the Ottoman Empire. Now, in that kilu moment in time, it's mamash like a moment in time that happened, that there was like a little bit of the foot was taken off the neck in Eretz Yisrael for a few minutes, steps in Reb Tzvi Hirschkalischer with a grand idea. Now, Reb Tzvi Hirschkalischer, just to give you his background, he's born Pachas Yosef at the end of the 1700s. He's born in Lissa, actually the town where the Nesivis is the Rav, Rabbi Yaakov Loberbaum. He learns by the Nesivis as a young Bacher when he's, you know, 12, 13, 14. Eventually, he moves over to a bigger city, slightly, you know, in that vicinity, the bigger city, which was Pozna, which was Rabbi Kiv Eger's city. Rabbi Kiv Eger is the Rav. And he has the distinction and the schus of being a Talmud of the Nesivis and Rabbi Kiv Eger. And a real Talmud. He wrote with both of them, he corresponded to both of them, he was close to both of them. Talmud of the Nesivis and Rabbi Kiv Eger. I think he considered Rabbi Kiv Eger to be his Rebbe Muvik, like his primary Rebbe. He moved over to Pozna. Eventually, he marries a girl from a city called Turin, which is a city in Prussia, I think. He moves there. He gets supported by his Shver. Eventually, he becomes the Rav of Turin. He writes many Svarim. He writes a Sefer on Chayshim Mishpat, like a regular Lamdash Sefer, like Kilo Alderech, the Nesivis, you know, Alderech is Rebbeim on Chayshim Mishpat. He also writes a Sefer about Jewish philosophy, which is, you know, makes him stand out a little bit. He corresponds with Moses Mendelssohn, Naftali Hertz Wiesel, some of the earliest, you know, Maskilim reformers. He corresponds with them. He has respect for their Chachma, but at the same time, he battles vociferously against their innovations. He was a big fighter against the reform. He put out Kalkairis. And, you know, amongst this whole potpourri of interesting type of characteristics that he had, he was a tremendous lover of Eretz Yisrael. He's considered from the group, you'd call him the proto-Zionist, meaning he predates the Zionist movement, but he shared many Zionist ideals. He wanted to start an agricultural settlement in Eretz Yisrael. He tried many times to get there. He's part of a small group like, you know, Shmuel Moralever, Yaakov Reines, Reb Tzvi Hirschkalischer, Elio Greiditz. There's a few of these like proto-Zionists who are very, very Haredi, Be'etzem, but shared certain ideas that later on became like internal, like very integral parts of the Zionist movement. So now, he, in this moment of time, when Ali becomes the king of Israel, of Palestine, or whatever you want to call it, he decides that he's going to make a push to start to reinstitute Karbanos. He felt that Ali Pasha would be, you know, chilled enough to allow Jews to bring Karbanos on Har HaBayis. He was mistaken about that, he was wrong, but he thought that. And he decides to make a push. Now, interestingly, the way he goes about this push is like this. In the non-Jewish world, in the anti-Semitic world, there's an enduring conspiracy theory that goes on for hundreds of years that the Rothschild family and Kilu Jews rule the world, right? This is a very, very famous conspiracy theory. Now, it's based on a kernel of truth. During the early 1800s, when the Rothschild family was b'shei tefartim, you know, at the strength of the peak of their powers, they kind of did rule the world, meaning the known world, the European world. They had a bank in France, they had a bank in England, they had a bank in Germany, they had a bank in Italy, and they had a bank, I forgot the fifth location. These are all, the founder of the Rothschild family is Meir Amschel Rothschild. He was from, he lived in Frankfurt, Germany. He's actually, I think, a relative of the Chavis Yar, Rav Yar Bachrach. The original family name is Bachrach, a nice Jewish-German family name. Rothschild, I think, just means red house, which was the home that like the head of the Rothschild family built, and they took the name of the home. Eventually, his children, he sends them all out to different corners of Europe. And for a certain tkuf in time, they were taka ruling the world. Meaning, I think one of them, in a moment of openness, said that he who controls the money of the British Empire controls the British Empire, and everybody knows the British Empire controls the world. So, you know, do the math. Like, they funded both sides of the war in the Napoleonic Wars, meaning kings on either side who were battling each other needed funds. The bonds were issued by the Rothschild banks, different branches of the Rothschild banks were issued. So they were really running the world. Eventually, they kind of faded away. I think still, if you try to look up their net worth, they're a fabulously wealthy family. It just now has thousands of members and tens of banks, so it's like hard to put together who's who. So his, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, also kind of bought into this idea that the Rothschilds, with their money, control the world. And he sent a letter to Usher Anshel Rothschild, which was the head of the bank in, I think, Paris, which ultimately became he was the Reish Mishpacha at the time. This is like in 18... like 1820s maybe, you know, early 1820s. He sends a letter to Usher Anshel Rothschild, which is actually preserved, his letter, in the back of this reprinted Reish Tzion, Loshtikl Show and Tell. This is his letter. It's like pages and pages. This is his letter that he sent in Hebrew, you know, to Usher Anshel Rothschild, with his whole hamtza of what he thinks should be the move over here. And basically his idea was that Ali Pasha needs money. He's battling with the Ottomans. You know, he's going to need money. The Rothschild Bank should offer to fund him, to give him the money that he needs, and therefore buy off Eretz Yisrael from him. You'll buy off Eretz Yisrael from him, and when you own Eretz Yisrael, he says, don't worry, you'll make your money back. Because eventually, if a Jew owns Eretz Yisrael, many more Jews will come, and eventually we'll be able to bring karbanis, and more Jews will want to come. You'll sell houses, you'll own farms, and you'll make all your money back. It's just a long-term investment. Like, see the long-term picture. Buy Eretz Yisrael of Ali Pasha, you'll make all your money back, and everything. Now, part of his letter that he writes over here is this idea. Now, the first few chapters of it, and later he publishes a sefer called Drishas Tzion, which is like elaborating on the themes that he wrote in this letter to Usher Anshel Rothschild. And the themes basically starts as follows. He believes, based on different rayas from Sukkim and Chazals and etc., that Mashiach is not going to be a process that's initiated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashiach is something that you don't wait for. Mashiach, you is supposed to be something that you do to get Mashiach to come. Like Mashiach comes up b'derech hateva, call it. You know, and this is a philosophical shaila, and there's a lot of nuances to this, and I'm generalizing when I say that, but he believed that Yidden could do something to try to cause that to happen. And one of the primary things that he thought that Yidden should do to do it is to bring karbanis back. So he starts off with this idea that Mashiach is something that we need to, you know, get the ball rolling. And then he continues on to the fact that Jews who will be able to bring karbanis will be able to get that started again. Now, he was a young man when he wrote this. I don't know, he's probably 30. He's a young man when he wrote his first letter to Usher Anshel Rothschild. He was full of, he was just excited. He wrote the letter. But he also, at the same time, in 1836, a little bit later, now we don't know if Usher Anshel Rothschild ever responded to him, actually. We have no records that he responded to him. He might have received this letter and said, here, cute, and then threw it in the garbage. I mean, we have no idea that he even took it seriously. The whole thing, it's unknown how it was received by the other party. But for the rest of his life, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was dedicated to this mission of pushing Karbanos Mizan Hazeh, bringing back Karbanos Mizan Hazeh. And to the end, he wrote a whole sefer called Drishas Tzion, which is all the rationales, the halachic rationales, the makaris from Chazal, from Nevi'im, from Midrashim, that support his idea of bringing back Karbanos Mizan Hazeh. Now, he wrote to his Rebbe, I want to try to go through some of the kilu halachic shailas disputes, underpinnings of this thing that he wrote. But there's a lot of them, so we'll try to just go quickly. I'm not going to go into too much detail on any one of them. But the basic premise starts as follows. He believes as follows. There is a sefer Kafta v'Ferach from Rav Shtori Yaparchi, a Rishon, who traveled around the world in the, I think, 1100s, 1200s. He traveled around the world. He wrote a travelogue. Now, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he writes that he met people. And this is not too long after this would have happened. And I'll read from you. He says he met as follows. He met people who told him, Sh'Rabbeinu Yechiel de Paris, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, one of the last Bali HaTaisvis, Amar Lavi LiYerushalayim, wanted to come to Yerushalayim, V'hu B'shnah Sheva Yisrael Elef HaShishi, V'sheYakrav Karbanos B'Zman HaZeh. Rabbeinu Yechiel de Paris wanted to come to Yerushalayim and bring Karbanos B'Zman HaZeh. Now, he writes that in the moment he was so stunned by this that he forgot to even ask his kashis, you know, what could be wrong with this? And then he has a little bit of a pilpul, you know, about Tumma B'Zman HaZeh, Ahin, Aher, back and forth. Now, whether or not this actually ever happened, that Yechiel de Paris came to Eretz Yisrael and was Makrav Karbanos or wanted to be Makrav Karbanos is a point of great machlekes. There are many later Chacham who believe that this never happened. This was aspirational. Yechiel de Paris wished he could come to Eretz Yisrael. It was like together Masi Avali Yadi V'Akemena. He wished, like the Goyin wanted to go, like you know, he wished that he could go to Eretz Yisrael and bring Karbanos, but it's not something that ever happened. But Yiyach Shia, this Kaftar V'Ferach is where, like, it spawns the idea that, hey, maybe this is really possible. Maybe this could really be done. So starts with Tzir Shkalasher with the Yisaydis Tikka Machlekes that's really in the Gemara in several places. And that's a Machlekes if one could bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Now there's Gemara in Megillah, there's Gemara in Zvachim, the Gemara elsewhere makes reference to it, that Shamati Shemakrivim Bebeis Chanyu Bizman Hazeh. I heard that there's such a thing as bringing Karbanos. Beis Chanyu was not the Beis HaMikdash, it was in Alexandria, it was an outside element. And I heard that you could bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Now the Gemara brings a Machlekes Tanoi, it's Machlekes Tanoim, if you're allowed to bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Tosfos has a handle rai what these mandamrim hold, and I'm just going through quickly the Rashi Prakim here, but the Rambam is the famous one who actually turns this into something that you can work with. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis Avichir in Perek Vav, the Rambam says as follows. He says, Lefichach, he really says this, he starts like this. He says, the Kedusha Rishayna, Shekitcha Shleima, Shukilish Hazar of Yerushalayim, L'shaita, V'kiddush Ha'isul L'asad Lavei. That Kedusha was Chal, L'shaita, and L'asad Lavei. The Kedusha that Shleim Melech was Mekadosh of the Azara and the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, that's a Kedusha that has the ability to maintain even through Galus. So says the Rambam in Halachat HaZavav, L'fichach, Makrivim HaKarbanos Kulan, Afa B'she'en Sham Bayis Bani. One is allowed to bring all the Karbanos, even though there's no Bayis Bani. Even though there's not a Beis HaMikdash that's built. Why? L'fisha Kedusha HaMikdash Yerushalayim P'nei HaShchina V'Shchina Eina B'teila. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash comes from the Shechina, and the Shechina is not Batal. Even though they're destroyed, they stay in their Kedusha. So the Rambam says, all Karbanos, technically, in theory, theoretically, any carbon could be brought, even Bizman Hazeh, even without a Beis HaMikdash. Comes the Ravid says, no, this is not true. That's Laman Damak. He says, Laman Damak Kedusha Yerushalayim, like Kitchel Asad Lavai. The Ravid Tzchelik, and he says, we don't pass like that Mandamer. Now, the Rambam elsewhere in Hilchos Avot, in Ma'aser Karbanos, says the same thing. But this is like you say this like a thing based on one of the Mandamrim in the Gemara, and based on, so to speak, the Ma'aser Rav of Rav Yechiel Paris and the Rambam's Deya. It seems like it's pretty clear that even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, one could bring Karbanos. So still, there's some missing elements. You have to fill in the blanks. But in theory, one could bring Karbanos. Now, to this, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote a letter to his Rebbe Reb Kveger, suggesting that based on the Rambam and based on his estimation that it's important and that Klal Yisrael should be trying to do this, we should be trying to reinitiate the Avodas HaKarbanos and bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Now, Reb Kveger writes back as follows. Reb Kveger is in the last months of his life. Reb Kveger is a very, very old man. I mean, not very old, very, very infirm, let's say. Reb Kveger, I think Reb Kveger was like low 70s when he was nifta. I don't think he was very old, but Reb Kveger writes back, this is in 1836, Reb Kveger writes as follows, and pay attention to this nuance, because you can see this in a lot of the tshuvas that people write. Reb Kveger gets like this, B'gufa inyan, eini maskim. The whole matarao here, the avi, I'm not maskim. Ki gam koidim she yadeinu magas, ladim b'plug to the rebusa, Rambam arayvid. Before we start handling this question of the Rambam and the Ravid, before we start dining on where the Mizbeach goes and what the dimensions of the Mizbeach has to be, the Tvachim, big ones, small ones, which is very hard to do, meaning all these things that the Rukhaker just brushed by, he says, are very hard to actually get a clear handle on it. Fine. Before we start that, he says, there's a different problem. What about Kahuna? So now, I just want to point, before I go into his details about Kahuna, you'll notice this pattern. A lot of the Tshuvas that people write about it, they'll be like a quick brush by, like, Milvad that there's 12 things that don't really stim, that are hard to put, but Lamaisa, let's handle this. And then they'll go through an Inyan, like Lamashram Kegel goes through the idea of Kahuna, and on the Kahuna Inyan, he's not too anti, he's, you know, noita that it could work. And Rav Tzvi Kalisher writes back to him to be miyash for some of his kashas. And then forever after that, in all the decades of Rav Tzvi Kalisher's life, Rav Tzvi Kalisher maintained that Rav Kineger was maskim to his amtsa. And you'll see this in the Chassam Sefer's letter also. The Chassam Sefer will write, a great idea, I love it, it's not really practical. Okay, let me handle one or two nekudas from Yishayla. And he doesn't come out against it. Rav Tzvi Kalisher added him to his list. The Chassam Sefer was maskim. Meaning in every letter that Rav Tzvi Kalisher wrote later on, he would say that the Chassam Sefer was maskim, Rav Kineger was maskim, Rav Leo Gutmacher was maskim. I just want to point out this nuance, and this is not me saying this, I'll show you who this really comes from. But just notice, Rav Kineger starts off right at the gate, that I'm not even going into the things that I hold have no yishuv. The things that are not yishuvable, I'm not talking about. But this kahuna thing, Kineger starts off, and he handles the shaila, what's the gedder of kehanim bizman hazeh? Are kehanim bizman hazeh considered real kehanim? Are the kehanim b'chazaka? Kineger actually collects like a lot of gedele achreinim, and he's Mesakim as follows. He says, Mikol Makim, Kivin the Gdeli Rabbi Seinu, Harivash, Marit, Marshal, Chutashani, Rashiafa, Donawaisim Lusvekis, they were Machria, the Kehanim Bizmanazar, only called Misafik, Shalay Lahatilam, Shum Davasha Asulazarim, Echnim Salam Lavad Avaidar. Okay, he says, yeah, we treat them like Kehanim Misafik, but we're not going to be giving them things that are Asur for Azar to do. To let them go do Avaidar, which is Asur for Azar, that you can't let them do. And Craig ends off, fine, Halavai, you know, we should be able to. Then he says, he throws in also, that big day kahuna need tchelas, which they didn't have at that time. And the end of ve'en biyadeinu lasis hachiyara Hashem imakim rucha yaleinu lahavi agula amiti laharvis betzedek. Nice, we have to wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanas enough. Now, in the Drisha Tzion, Rav Tzvi Kalisher brings it back and forth. He has three or four more follow-up letters that he has with Rav Kveger, where he's miyashiv certain of these pratim that Rav Kveger is meyer. But the ones that he's not miyashiv are the ones that Rav Kveger never talked about. So Rav Kveger clearly didn't hold, you know, Bishleimus Inyan, but he talked about something. Now, Rav Kveger was very old, and he referred him to the Chassam Sefer, to his Edim, and the Chassam Sefer similarly. The Chassam Sefer is not nispal from the things that bother Rav Kveger, but is bothered by other things. The Chassam Sefer writes about the kahuna aspect. He's not so taken by it. But there's a problem with who pays for karbanos. Karbanos have to come from the tzibur. Shkalim doesn't apply anymore. So the Chassam Sefer says, maybe Karban Pesach, that doesn't need shkalim, it can be possible to do. So now Rav Tzvi Kalisher signs on. The Chassam Sefer says we could do it again because Chassam Sefer again leaves out, you know, a whole bunch of parts. Now the one who actually was, you know, more pro, more on board with it in a real way was Rav Leo Gutmacher, which was his friend in Chavrusa from learning by Rav Kveger. They were friends from Minu Uram, and Rav Leo Gutmacher was more open to the idea. Rav Leo Gutmacher was more of a kabbalistically oriented person. He was a mekubel. He loved the concept, you know, all the neviim, the psukim, the raya that they're bringing. He was more open to the idea. The Aruch Lener, for example, in the Tshuva and Binyan Tzion and Tshuva Aleph, is strongly against. The Aruch Lener holds all his rayas are not rayas, and he goes through them one by one. He doesn't like his rayas. Now, there's, I'll give you a summary in a second of the different, you know, safe, what are all the issues that are discussed. But this idea that Tzir Kalisher Kilo like ignored a little bit the nuance of these tshuvas that were sent to him because of his great chavivus and excitement to do it, really comes from the Sheilas David, from David Karliner. David Karliner put out a kuntres called Kuntres Rishis Tzion v'Yerushalayim in the Hakdama to his Shailas Tshuva Shailas David. He writes as follows. I want to read you a little bit of a quote over here. He says, "V'amarti bilvavi asher zeh ach dvar svasayim asher yeshnu b'roi v'avosam l'chaynin adma Tzion v'Yerushalayim." He says, "I heard of this idea that people want to bring Karbanos Mizan Hazeh, and I assumed that this was just words. People are talking because of the chavivos and the chshivos that they have. They're excited to discuss this topic," he says. Talking and learning is very good, he says. But because you think you have a psisvara, we're not going to do like that. Until I heard, I found that there are people who are mamish, they're doing it for real. And he's referring to Rav Nosson Friedlander, who was a Talmud of Rav Tzvi Kalisher, who moved to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Tzvi Kalisher's son. They moved to Eretz Yisrael to try to bring this thing to life. Rav Tzvi Kalisher himself never made it to Eretz Yisrael. They moved there to try to bring it to life. He says, "I heard that this is becoming real," he says. He says, "And I can't believe asher chachamim ke'eli yishpetu al pi demyoinim b'derech ha'pilpul she'en mochrech la'asem ma'isim." Because you have a psipilpul doesn't mean you could do something. "Ma'isim ne'ro'am ke'elu v'halachti shayimim b'rayoni zema'za asa Hashem lanu." What is this that's going on over here? That people like are going to act because of a psisvara that they have? Fine, this is his thing. Now he turns his attention to Rav Tzvi Kalisher, and he says as follows. He says, "Then it came across my desk, Negedein Aichibur Katan, Rav Ha'echus, Midarshe B'Shleim Tzion, Hamasavim lalis bechatzireim. From someone who's derish b'shleim tzion, who has a tremendous taiva to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Hainu who harav hagoyin yiras alikim merabim merenu harav tzvihar shamachona kalasher. So he says, Rabbi Tzvi Hirschkalasher, who is Yerushimayim, Rabbim, Klar Yerushimayim, Verisi Me'achibar Azeh, Imki Mechaber, who Gadol B'Teru B'Yira, B'Yiras Chetak, Kedemus L'Chachmasai, Im Kol Zeh Mirav, Meroiv Ahavasai, L'Choinen Admas Tiyan Yishke B'Zeh. And this is how he writes it. He says, I see that he's a Yerushimayim, he's a Yarev Shalom, he's a Tayre Tam Chacham. But Meroiv Ahavasai, to the Inyan, he was shogun and he wasn't able to see it through to the end. So the Shailas David is the one who like put this cap on it. He's a little bit later than everybody else. He's, you know, already in the late 1800s. And he goes through, it's a kuntres, it's small, it's readable, rather, it's just a bad print. But it's readable, where he goes through, you know, the different dinyanim that are impediments to bringing Kabbalah Sbunan Azeh. And he says that although Rabbi Tzvi Hirschkalasher was a Yerushimayim Mushlam, a Talmud Chacham, a Shleimus de Gemensh, it was Meiroi V'Havasi for the idea that he wasn't able to really, you know, address all the issues. And similarly, the Tzitzli Ezen, I think I quoted this last week, in two or three of his Tshuvas, where he discusses the Inyan, he writes like this, like that. I'll read you it, because he writes it in a modern way. He says, Shalalacha Bezeh, Huchrei, they roiv minyan, v'roiv binyan, shal Rabbeinu Agdeila Ma'achreinim Zal. V'toichem gami talmidev shalach, some sefer ba'atzmai. Ki mekame v'kame nimukim halacha, ekreinim ma'achriyim, ein ba'afsharas, l'hatus kamonos l'maisa. He says, it's settled law. L'maisa, there is no way to do this in a practical sense. Yes, it would be nice. Yes, there's all sorts of rationales. Yes, there's all different tshuvas from different gedolei acharonim that seem to, you know, like a certain part of it, don't like a certain part of it, but there's no way to do it. And he says this in another tshuva, Yefshel Hakav Kabanas Menan Zeb, Shumayif and Shabayilam. Now, so Tzimtzayif, I just want to say that it was an idea that started like in a moment of time when he thought there would be a chance. It's something that was never going to be realistic. And like the Tzimtzayif writes in his tshuva, when Rabbi Kenegi referred him to Tzimtzayif, the Tzimtzayif writes that I just received word from people who are on the ground in Eretz Yisrael, and it's mamish, not practical. It's not the time, he says, and Sefer writes, this is interesting, Sefer writes that I just received as a gift, like a lithograph, a painting of the Har HaBayis, and on it is a beautiful mosque, he says, with a beautiful dome, and there's no way, they're very protective over it, and there's no way that they'll ever let you do anything in Har HaBayis. So the Sefer knew more facts on the ground, what was going on, and he knew this was not realistic, b'chal. He says Tzir Niflam Mikol Harabayis V'Hanivna Alav Teicha Gam Akipa Hanal. Also that dome of the mosque. When a Nifla L'Royev, it's like a marvelous thing to see. So Mosef was very blown away by this artifact that he received. Now, so you know, L'Shleimus Einyan L'Chayru, the way the Shailas Tzion says it, the way the Shailas David says it, the way the Tzitliyaza says it, is the way that it was left off. No mainstream Gadol Mosef was holding by allowing Karbanos Buzan Hazeh. Now, just so that we're not leaving this, untouched, I'll run through Mamash quickly, the various different kilu discussion points, without going into each one of them. Discussion point number one is there's a machlekes amongst these achrinim, if you need a Navi v'Sanhedrin to be mechadish Karbanos. There's mashmoyes in certain psukim that you need a Navi and Sanhedrin to be mechadish Karbanos. Chasam Sefer, although he is very favorable to Rabbi Tzvi Hirschkalasher in his tshuva, and a different tshuva in Archaim, he says clearly that you need a Navi and Sanhedrin to be mechadish Karbanos. That's shaila number one. The kedushas makom hamikdash is a machlekes rishonim. The Rambam, the Ravid, the Aruch Lener brings that Rashi elsewhere seems to hold like the Ravid, so it's not even a machlekes that's really, you know, behechrich. There was no hachra to that shaila. Also, the Aruch Lener suggests that maybe you can't rely on regular klali apsak to paskin such a shaila, something that's tali in a navi, meaning something that a navi is going to have input on. Like the pasuk says, Hakol biyad Hashem alai hiskel. Neviim have input in what the Beis Hamikdash is going to look like. Don't tell me that stam machlekes or belazer or yitzchak halachik or belazer. Like you can't tell me regular klali apsak by something that relies on a navi. That's the Aruch Lener's suggestion. There's obviously the shaila of going on to the Har HaBayis Petumah, Bizman Hazeh. What type of Petumah do we have? When is it Tchuya? Is Tumah Hutter Barabim? Tchuya Barabim? That's a great sugya. You need the tzitz to be Maratza when it is Tchuya. Each one of these is really a conversation farzich based on many Gemaras, many Rishonim. Another one is the Makam HaMizbeach. How easy or hard or impossible is it to figure out where the Mizbeach is supposed to be exactly? The Tzvi Hirschkalasher held that, but it's easy to figure out the Mizbeach is there are certain, you know, remnants of the Beis HaMikdash that are left, and based on the archaeology, you'll be able to figure it out. Others, the Aruch Lener, the Kvegur, the Chum Sefer, seem to think that the Pasuk says, after the Churban HaBayis HaSheni, Arurara the Yesoid Ba, that it was destroyed till the Yesoidis, and anything that's there now is not, you know, actually from the Beis HaMikdash, and it would be hard to establish exactly where it is. This Machlekes rages on today. Today there are people who say, based on satellite imagery, they could figure out better, you know, but there's more to say. Bizman Hazeh. Now, another one is stam psukim, are kabbanis allowed to be brought when they're not l'reach nichayach? Kabbanis always referred to as reach nichayach. Now, the pasuk says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, when I think Yirmiyah is minaba on the Chorban, it says v'loya reach reach nichaychem. I'm not going to smell anymore your reach nichayach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilo said, I'm no longer interested in the reach nichayach of kabbanis for the time being. Now, there's never been a pasuk where a navi said that Hashem said, now I am yet interested again in reach nichayachem. Now, could you separate karbanos from reach nichayachem? Say there's dinim of karbanos. You could bring karbanos because it's technically feasible, even if it's not reach nichayach. That's another machlekes in amongst the achrayim. Kehanim yuchasim. We mentioned this. Kveger's major point of contention, which is something that's still rages on today in many different contexts. Exactly how to look at kehanim bezman hazeh. When you can make it, when you can't be makel. That's a grace of machlekes achrayim that still goes on. Big de kahuna. What exactly the avnate of a kayin hadit is versus the avnate of a kayin gadol, if there's shatness in it, if there's tchelas in it, when it's mutter, when it's not mutter, uchein v'chein. And these are some of the just the kilo, the greatest hits. It would take weeks and weeks to go through each one of these with the pratim. But this is the story of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's, you know, I dreamed the dream he wanted, but like the Tzitzli Ezer and like the Sheilas David says, it's miroi v'abba v'chiba to pursue this idea so thoroughly, but it's not an idea that's practical. And I saw Moshe Steinbruch writes that the ultimate drishas tzion that a person could have is to talk through the sugya of being derish tzion. So hopefully we're mekayim there. All right. Yeah.